Copyright 2011 JKP Radha Madhav Dham. All rights reserved. Swami Nikhilanand is a disciple of Jagat Guru Sri Kripaluji Maharaj. He resides at Radha Madhav Dham in Austin, Texas, which is the US ashram of Jagat Guru Kripalu Parishad. He travels America preaching the philosophy of Sanatan Dharma as taught by Sri Kripaluji Maharaj. In this series, he gives an in-depth description of the different kinds of bhakti, the stages a devotee progresses through on the path of bhakti, and the ultimate goal, the divine bhakti. These speeches are based on the descriptions by Rup Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, as explained by Sri Kripaluji Maharaj.
Kam va dayalum sharanam vrajema yo brahmanam vidadhati purvam yo vai vedanscha prahinoti tasmai Tagvangha devamatma buddhi prakasham mumukshurvai sharanamaham prapadye.
Dear devotees, we'll have a few minutes of Nam Sankirtan, and after that I'll start a series of speeches on the path of bhakti.
Bhajogiri dhar govinda gopala Jogiri dhar govinda gopala Bhajogiri 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 dhar govinda gopala Bhajo Giri Dhar Govinda Gopala. Bhajo Giri Dhar Govinda Gopala. Bhajo Giri Dhar Gopala. Bhajo Giri Dhar Govinda Gopala.
बोले वृंदावन बिहारी लाल की.
In this series, I'm going to share some things with you about the path of bhakti, which Sri Maharaj ji has described in some of his more detailed speeches on bhakti. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ji says, Siddhant baliya chitte na kar alas. That even on the path of devotion, one should not be lazy when it comes to understanding the correct philosophy. Practice is important, of course, but in order to have a stable progress on the path, in order to be able to deal with the ups and downs of sanskars, we need to have a solid base of knowledge as well. Chaitanya Mahaprabhuji also says, out of all the things to know, there's only three that you need to concentrate on the path of devotion. Veda Shastra Kahe Sambandha Abhidheya Prayojan. He says all the Vedas, all the Shastras, although they say many, many things, really they only say three things. So know these three. Number one, Sambandh. To whom are you related? Number two, Abhidheya. How can you meet with that individual to whom you're related? And Prayojan, once you meet with him, what do you want from him? And the answer to these three, Krishna, Krishna, Bhakti, Prem, Tin Mahadhan. Who are you related to? Krishna. What is the path to reach Krishna? Bhakti. And what do you want from him once you reach him? Prem. Chaitanya Mahaprabhuji describes our relationship with Krishna beautifully. To understand who you're related to, first you have to know who you are. So he tells us both things in one verse, who we are and to whom we're related. Jivera swarupahoya Krishnera nitya das. We are souls. That is who we are. And as part of our identity, we are considered and we are eternally Krishna's das, means servants. Because we are his ansh, we're a part of his jeev shakti, so we're a part of him. So it's the nature of every ansh to desire to serve his anshi. So Krishna is the source of our very existence. He is our anshi, and we are his ansh. So as a natural consequence of this, we are naturally and eternally his das, his servant. Who are we? We are not just souls. We are souls who are eternally Krishna's servants. Eternally means it's not an enforced thing or an adopted thing. It is who we are. In fact, that's our only desire, To serve Krishna for his happiness is the only desire of every soul. And to be happy in his happiness. That's the kind of happiness our soul wants. All other desires are created by our mind. We see something in this world and we start desiring it. But this one desire was never created, so it's not even in the same class as all of our other desires, because you could say it's not even a desire, it's just who we are. It's our swabhav, our nature. So nature is that which cannot be changed. So we eternally desire to serve Krishna. More sabahi ek tum swami deen bandhu urantaryami. Tulsidas ji writes in the Ramayana that, O Ram, you alone are my everything. In other words, I have all of the relationships with you. Tvameva sarvam mama deva deva. Divyo deva narayano mata pita bhrata suhrid gatihi. Ved. Gita says the same thing. Gatir bharta prabhu sakshi nivasa sharanam suhrit. We have all of the relationships with him eternally. He's our mother, he's our father, he's our friend, he's our beloved, he's our child, he's our brother, he's our sister, he's our well-wisher, guide, protector, husband, everything. So along with all of this comes that feeling that you are mine and I belong to you, so I only wish one thing, to see you happy. That's what service means. I desire to serve you means I desire to see you happy. So I want to be happy in your happiness. So someone who has correct knowledge about who they are realizes that this is the real desire of their heart and soul. All the other desires are just a twisted version of that original desire. Our mind gets it confused. Really, we just want to see Krishna happy. We want to serve him. So he is our only true relative. We have all the relationships with him, all in one, and eternally. All other relationships that we may have in this world are temporary, and they're only physical. They're not divine relationships like our relationship with Krishna. So what is our sambandh? Krishna. We are related, all of us, each one of us is related only to Krishna. So then, how can we meet him? Since he's our only relative, our only true divine relative, how can we meet him? This is the second thing we have to know. It's called abhidheya. Abhidhiyate anena iti abhidheya. The definition of abhidheya is that which gets you from where you are to where you want to be. The path which joins you with Krishna is your abhidheya. So what is that path? Ved says in one short phrase, bhakti revainam nayati. That's all you need to know right there. It means bhakti is the only thing which can join a soul with Krishna. There is no other thing, there's no other path, no other practice. Bhakti eva, only bhakti, enam nayati, can join the soul, can bring the soul to Krishna. This we know. We've heard Sri Maharaji describe this many times. So if we do bhakti, we will reach Krishna. Now the third question comes, prayojan. If you're going to visit a relative, even in this world, you have some prayojan, some reason why you're going to see that person. You may say, oh, I'm just going because he's my dad, or he's my brother, that's my aunt, I'm related, so I'm going to see them. Well, that's fine. Yeah, I'm sure you're related, but you have some other reason in your mind also. You're going to see them for some reason. Prayojana manuddishya mandopi na pravartate. Darshan Shastra says nobody does anything without a reason. Even a complete fool has a reason behind every single thing that he does. So if we're going to see our divine relative Krishna, we want to meet him, we must have a reason. What do we want from him when we meet him? Chaitanya Mahaprabhuji says, Prem. Veda Shastra kahe sambandha abhidheya prayojan. Krishna, Krishna bhakti prem tin mahadhan. What is your sambandh? Krishna. What is the path to reach Krishna? Krishna bhakti. And what do you want from him? What is your prayojan? Prem. That means his divine love. Why do we want his divine love? Sri Maharaji says sweetly that if Krishna asks you that when you meet him, that why do you want my prem? You just say to him, you don't worry about that. You just give me the prem. What I'm going to do with it is none of your business. But actually, what do we want to do with it? We want to serve him for his happiness. When we get prem, when we get his divine love, then we can serve him for his happiness. Until then, he serves us. Ye yatha mam prapadyante tastathaiva bhajamyaham. Gita. Krishna says, you surrender and I serve you. He is samarth, he has all the power. We are asamarth, we have no power to do anything. So all we can do is surrender and he's serving us all the time. Taking care of us, giving us a human body, giving us the results of our past karma, arranging for us to meet with a saint. He's already taking care of us. So when can we begin to serve him? After we get his divine love. So that is our actual prayojan. We want to get his prem so that we can do his seva with him in his divine world. So that's the ultimate goal of every soul. Traditionally, people are used to hearing about four aims of human life. Dharma, art, kam, moksha. These four things. Char purushart. Dharma means doing good actions. Art means accumulating wealth. Kam means trying to satisfy sensual desires in the world. And moksha means liberation. So are none of these four the actual aim of human life? I'm saying prem is the aim of human life. Chaitanya Mahaprabhuji is saying prem is the aim, the ultimate aim of every soul. What about dharma, arth, kama, moksha? So dharma keeps you within maya because it only takes you as far as swarg. Beyond swarg is the divine world. So if you get liberation, if you get liberated, you go to the divine world. That's one form of divine attainment. Beyond liberation is prem. You get to be with God personally in his divine abode and serve him. So prem is beyond just going to swarg. But if you do dharma, you just follow the laws of good actions and perform all the good ritual actions described in the Vedas, that is dharma. So the topmost place dharma can take you is to swarg. So it's not wrong to do dharma. It's like a preliminary thing to make a person good. But eventually they're going to ask the question, when there's no perfect happiness in swarg, even if I go there, I'm not getting God's prem, then there must be something beyond just doing dharma. And arth and kam, those keep you in this world. If you just accumulate wealth or you spend your life trying to satisfy your sensual desires, then you're guaranteed to be reborn in this world, not even to go to swarg. So either way, whether you go to swarg or whether you're reborn in this world, it keeps you in the cycle of birth and death. Because going to swarg is also only temporary. You come back here and you're reborn in the physical world again. So dharma, arth, kam, they keep you within the bondage of maya. And moksha takes you beyond maya. Moksha means you've gone beyond arth, kaam, and dharma. You've gone beyond this world, gone beyond swarg. You're free from maya, and you'll never be born again. What does Chaitanya Mahaprabhuji say about dharma, arth, kaam, moksha? He says all four of them are kaitava. Kaitava means deceptions. They look good, they sound nice, but actually it's diverting you from your real goal, which is Krishna prem. Your real goal is to attain Krishna's divine love. So if you're trying to attain the celestial abodes by doing dharma, or you think that satisfying your worldly desires is the ultimate aim of your life, then you're diverted from your true goal. But about moksha, he says, taro madhye mokshavancha kaitava pradhan. Moksha is the worst kaitava of all. Out of all the deceptions, out of all four, the worst one is moksha. Why? Bhagavatam goes to this point. Veda Vyas writes, swarga pavarga narake shvapi tulyartha darshina. Veda Vyasji says, swarg, apavarg, meaning moksha, liberation, and narak, they're all tulya. It means they're the same. Swarg, going to the celestial abodes, narak, going to hell for wrong actions, to suffer there, and getting liberation. He says all three are the same. Why? Because all three are not prem. Whether you go to narak, whether you go to swarg, or whether you get liberated, either way, you're bereft of the ultimate thing, Krishna's divine love. But Mahaprabhuji is saying, no, actually, getting moksha is worse than going to narak. Let alone worse than going to swarg, it's worse than going to narak. This might be surprising to you. We've all been to narak uncountable times. We can't remember what the suffering is like there. But we've probably heard some descriptions. There are all different kinds of suffering depending what kind of bad actions we've done. And moksha is worse than that? Yes, far worse. Because even if you go to narak, that's only temporary. Eventually you can be reborn as a human being. You might meet a rasic saint and learn about the greatness of divine love and learn the path of bhakti. And then you can attain Krishna's divine love, even after having been in narak. But if you get moksha, you'll be bereft of his divine love forever, because moksha is forever. Nasa punaravartate, nasa punaravartate. Veda says you never come back from moksha. And moksha means a divine state of no experience. You leave your physical body behind, your mind behind, your senses. So no faculty of experiencing. Just your soul merges into formless God. So you have no experience of God, even though you've merged into Him. Even God Himself in that form, as Nirakar Brahm, all of His qualities are inactive. So in other words, God doesn't even know of His own blissfulness in that state. As Nirakar Brahm, God is not even aware of anything. So the souls who merge into Him also have an inactive existence. They still exist, but they don't do anything, know anything, experience anything, even divine bliss. They don't experience God. So that's worse than narak, because that lasts forever and you'll never get a chance to attain divine love, which is a state of bliss, where you're actually enjoying that blissfulness. You're not in a state of divine sleep, so to speak. One time, Mukti is another name for moksha. Mukti personified came and visited a rustic saint. This rustic saint had a hut, a small hut, and a fence around his yard. And out of nowhere, Mukti just appeared and said, pranam. So the saint said, Katvam, who are you?
कात्वं मुक्तिर मुक्तिरुपागतासि भवति कस्माद् कस्मादिह. Who are you? She said, oh, I'm Mukti. He said, Mukti? Where did you come from? Kasmad kasmadiha. So you didn't come through the gate. You know, most people will on the outside of the gate, they might say, hello, can I enter? You just came in here uninvited and you're telling me your name is Mukti? Why have you come?
Shri Krishna smaranena deva bhavato dasi padam prapita.
Oh, you do bhakti to Shri Krishna, don't you? Yes, so? Well, I've come because I want to be your dasi. I want to serve you because you're a great devotee of Krishna. What? You want to be my servant?
Dure tishtha managana gasikatham kuryadanaryam mai.
Get out. Stand on the other side of the gate at least. You want to talk to me? Stand out there. Oh, but why?
Tvadgandhanam. Tvadgandhanam nijanam. Chandana rasa lepyasya lopo bhavet.
Because if I become attached to you, my experience of Krishna's divine love will be finished forever. The people you associate with affects you. So he says, you become my servant. Next thing you know, I get attached to you. I make you my own and I forget about Krishna's bhakti. No, no, no. You get out of here. I don't want you anywhere. I don't need any servants like you. You go back to Krishna. He might have, Mukti says, oh, but Krishna sent me here to serve you. You go back to Krishna and serve him. I don't need any servants like that. I want to keep my divine love of Krishna. So moksha is the last thing we should be desiring. Rup Goswami goes to this point of saying,
Bhukti mukti sprihayavat pishachi hridi vartate.
That mukti is like a pishachini, means chudel, a witch, a demoness. Keep her far away from your heart. Because if mukti, the desire for mukti, enters your heart, you'll never attain true bhakti and you'll never attain Krishna's divine love. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhuji says there's a fifth aim of human life.
Pancham purushartha sei prem mahadhan. Purushartha shiromani sei prem mahadhan.
The fifth and topmost aim of human life is prem, Krishna's divine love. So what is that prem that we're asking him for? Naradji, who's considered to be the very first acharya of bhakti, when he was asked, what is prem? What is Krishna prem? He said, anirvachaniyam prema swarupam. Oh, it can't be described into words. It is such that it cannot be described into words. In fact, muka swadhanavat. He says, someone trying to describe Krishna's divine love would be like a gunga, someone who's mute, he can't talk, and he eats the best sweet in the whole world, like the tastiest rasgulla. And he eats that, and then someone asks him, what was that like? Describe the taste to me. So all he can say is, mmm. In other words, he can't describe it. But Sri Maharaj goes a step further. He says, even if someone is the greatest lecturer in the whole world and he's attained Krishna's divine love, even he cannot describe it. Why? Because who is he trying to describe it to? Us. If you try to describe the taste of sweetness to a neem ka keeda, a worm that lives on the neem tree whose leaves are so bitter, And that worm eats nothing but neem leaves his whole life, so he's only tasted bitter. And that worm asks somebody, can you please describe for me the taste of a rasgulla? So you might say to him, well, it's very, very sweet, extremely sweet. He says, sweet? What is sweet? I don't even know what sweet is. Well, have you ever eaten sugar? Nope. Have you ever eaten even molasses or gura? Nope. You've never eaten anything sweet in your whole life? No. I'm neem ka keeda. I live on the neem tree. I only eat the bitter neem leaf. So I have no idea what sweet is. I'm asking you, what does rasgulla taste like? You're saying sweet. That means nothing to me. Similarly, we say, oh, great rasik saint, tell me, what is Krishna's prem like? Well, to him, we are like that worm who has only eaten bitter leaves our whole life. We have only experienced worldly pleasures. We've never had even a drop of divine happiness, let alone divine love, which is the absolute culmination of all divine blissfulness. So what could he say? He could say nothing that could explain to us what that prem is. Nonetheless, to give us some appreciation for the greatness of that prem, it is said in the scriptures, Hladini sandhini samvitvayeka sarvasanshraye hladata pakari mishra tvaino gunavarjite. Vishnu Puran. God's main power, which is called Swarup Shakti, his personal power, it has three aspects. Functionally speaking, it does three different things. So it's called Ahladini power, which is the power of blissfulness. Sandhini power, the power of Almighty God. Through his Almighty power, he does things like create and uphold the universe. And his Samvit power. Through that power, God is all-knowing. So these are the three facets of God's personal power, Swarup Shakti. Tasya shaktayastvanekadha ahladini sandhini jnane chakriyadya bahuvidha shaktayah tasvahladini variyasi ved. Out of all of God's powers, ahladini shakti, the power of bliss, is the main one, the supreme power. But that power of bliss also has an essence. Chaitanya Mahaprabhuji says, Ahladini shakter paramasar taro premanam. Premanam. What is the essence of the Ahladini shakti? Prem. The essence of God's power of bliss is the power of divine love. That power of divine love has several names. You can call it prem. You can say prema shakti. You can say prema bhakti. It all means divine love or the power of divine love. That power is so great that it even keeps Krishna under its control. Krishna has uncountable powers which all reside within him. So he is called Sarva Shakti. Diman. Out of all of those powers, the power of divine love is supreme, and it is unique in this way that all the other powers reside in Krishna and are controlled by him. But the power of divine love even keeps Krishna under its control. How? The power of divine love has this effect that drowned in that love, Krishna forgets his godliness. He is God, but he forgets that he's God. It's called Bhagavata, that divine glory, divine almightiness. When we think of God, we think of God who is so great. Well, Krishna forgets how great he is under that power of divine love, and that, under that spell, He plays with his saints. He plays with the gopis, the gwalbals. So those who receive that power of divine love, Krishna comes under them. He is adhin to his rasik saints. Rasik saint means one who has received his divine love. So that power of divine love is so great that if Krishna gives that power to any soul, he becomes smaller than that soul. Just like Mother Yashoda and Krishna. Mother Yashoda, a soul, and Krishna, God, and she has him tied up to the ukal. And he's trembling. Oh no, my mother is going to find out I did something wrong. God trembling before a soul? Yes, because he's not thinking of himself as God. He's not even pretending that he forgets he's God. He is literally, actually forgotten. So although he is God, but he's not acting like God. And this is how these divine leelas in that divine love field happen. So that's a very, very special thing to get to be a part of. And that is why it's the ultimate goal of every soul to receive his divine love. Then you can also have such a sweet relationship with Krishna. You can also be with him and take part in those leelas, and you can serve him personally and desire for his happiness and feel happy in his happiness, which is the highest form of happiness that any saint can attain. So that is our prayojan, to get that divine love of Krishna and then serve him. So Krishna, Krishna bhakti prem. Now we understand in gist about these three things. We are eternally related to Krishna only. We can attain him by doing bhakti, and once we attain him, our goal is to receive his divine love and serve him. So there's something else interesting which Chaitanya Mahaprabhuji says about bhakti, that divine bhakti. Remember, I told you, prem, or divine love, is also called bhakti. He says, nitya siddh Krishna prema sadhya kabhunaya. That prem of Krishna, it's nitya siddh, and it is never sadhya. Sadhya means you can do something to get it. Most things are sadhya, means sadhana sadhya. You do some sadhan, you have some method or means of getting that thing. But Krishna prem is nitya siddh, means it's a divine power. So there's nothing any soul can do to attain that. Naradji says, labhyate chatat kripayaiva. It is only attainable through Krishna's grace. You cannot attain it through your own effort. It's attainable through his grace. But that seems to contradict what Ved said, bhakti revainam nayati, and what Mahaprabhuji said, Krishna, Krishna, bhakti, prem. Our abhideya, our means of reaching Krishna, is bhakti. So bhakti is our sadhan, means that's the means, that's our method. And the sadhya would be Krishna prem. So by doing bhakti, we should be able to attain Krishna's divine love. Mahaprabhuji says, no, there is no means, not even by doing bhakti can you attain Krishna's divine love. But if you look in the Bhagavatam, Vedavyasa says differently. He says, bhakti. Bhaktya sanjataya bhaktya. You do one bhakti and then you get the other bhakti. So one bhakti is called sadhana bhakti. That's the bhakti you do. That's the path. That's the means. And then you receive the divine bhakti, the divine love. So you do one bhakti, then you get the other bhakti. So it seems like that's sadhya, right? We did bhakti and then we got divine love. So which is it? Is it sadhya or isn't it? Can we attain his divine love by doing bhakti or can we not? Or if we follow Naradji's words, labhyate chatat kripayaiva, When God graces you, or when any saint graces you, you will get bhakti, divine bhakti. So then the obvious question would be, why haven't they graced us yet? If all we have to do is wait for God's grace, why haven't they graced us? Okay, give me your divine love. Give me prem. I'm waiting. Or go to any saint. Give me prem. If that were the case, if it was just dependent on God's grace or a saint's grace, why should this world even exist? Why would this even need to be here? God could just instantly grace everybody with his divine love. End of story. We all go to the divine world. No need to do bhakti. No need to read any scripture. No need to do anything. So this is a dangerous philosophy, because if we have this philosophy, we become lazy and we become careless. Oh, when he graces me, it will happen. What can I do? It's not sadhya, so I can't attain it. I don't have to do anything. So Sri Maharaj resolves this apparent conflict by saying, it is kripa sadhya. By doing bhakti, you are not attaining divine love. You are being gifted that divine love. Krishna gives it to you. Actually, a saint gives it to you. Krishna doesn't give it directly. Krishna has one of his saints grace you with his divine love. When? When your heart is fully purified by doing bhakti. So you do have to do bhakti to purify your heart. Then your guru will give you God's personal power, swarup shakti. That enters your heart and divinizes your heart. So first you purified it by doing bhakti. He divinized it. Then into your divine heart you receive divine love. So that's why there's the word bhakti has two meanings. Bhajyate bhakti and bhajanam bhakti. Bhajyate bhakti means sadhana bhakti. That's the bhakti you have to do. And bhajanam bhakti means once you do sadhana bhakti and purify your heart and you receive divine bhakti, well, that's the bhajanam bhakti. Then you get that divine power, his divine love. So we have to do bhakti. Then with God's grace, with the grace of a saint, we'll receive divine bhakti. And that bhakti lasts forever. That's his divine power, receiving which we gain entrance to his divine abode and his divine leelas. So this bhakti is very important to understand. So far I broke it down in two categories, sadhana bhakti and prema bhakti. Sadhana bhakti you do, prema bhakti you receive. Now let's understand it in more detail. It's actually broken down into three, sadhana bhakti, bhav bhakti, and prema bhakti. Sadhana bhakti means attaching your mind to God. This is the bhakti we do. I'm going to talk in much more detail about this week. Attaching your mind to God, thinking of God lovingly, that's sadhana bhakti. When you do that, your heart starts to purify. Then you enter into, or you start to enter into the next stage, which is bhav bhakti, where your mind starts to become naturally attached to Radha Krishna. And you start to naturally feel a deep love for them in your heart. This is the beginning of bhav bhakti. Bhav bhakti goes on multiplying as your heart purifies until it becomes complete. Your heart becomes fully purified. You've reached the culmination of bhav bhakti. Then your guru gives you God's personal power, swarup shakti, into your perfectly clean antahkaran. That divinizes your senses, mind, body, everything. Then into your divine mind, your guru gives you prema bhakti, the divine bhakti. So there's three, sadhana bhakti you do, bhav bhakti which comes along the way, and then prema bhakti which is our ultimate goal. So Rup Goswami has described that there are six unique qualities of bhakti. Sadhana bhakti, bhav bhakti, and prema bhakti, they have six very unique qualities that are unique to bhakti, which are also important to understand and tell the greatness of bhakti, and that's where we're going to continue from tomorrow, as we examine in more detail, especially these two, sadhana bhakti and bhav bhakti, because these are the stages we have to go through first. And tonight we'll finish by singing a kirtan of Sri Maharaji's about Radharani.
Hari dekho aali lali ko phulan singaar. Hari dekho aali lali ko phulan singaar. Phulan ki chandra kala sir soati. Phulan ki chandra kala sir so. Chandra kala sir sohati. Phulan ki bandani dhar hari dekho aali. Phulan ki bandani dhar hari dekho. Phulan ki bandani dhar hari dekho aali. Phulan ki bandani dhar hari dekho aali. Lali ko phulan singaar hari dekho aali. Lali ko phulan singaar hari dekho aali. Dekho aali lali ko phulan singaar hari dekho aali. Lali ko phulan singaar hari dekho aali. Dekho aali lali ko phulan singaar hari dekho aali. Lali ko phulan singaar hari dekho aali. Lali ko phulan singaar. अथ श्रवण फूलन के झुमके सर कलीन निहार हरि देखो आली सर कलीन निहार हरि देखो आली सर कलीन निहार हरि देखो आली लाली को फूलन सिंगार हरि देखो आली लाली को फूलन सिंगार हरि देखो आली लाली को फूलन सिंगार हरि देखो आली देखो आली लाली को फूलन सिंगार हरि देखो आली लाली को फूलन सिंगार हरि देखो आली लाली को श्यामा को फूलन सिंगार पहुँची बाजू बंद फूलन को बंद फूलन को फूलन को गाल बीच हार हरि देखो आली फूलन को गाल बीच हार हरि देखो आली फूलन
ने को गल बीच हार हरि देखो आली सर कलीन निहार हरि देखो आली फूलन की बंदनी धार हरि देखो आली लाली को फूलन सिंगार हरि देखो आली लाली को फूलन सिंगार हरि देखो आली देखो आली लाली को फूलन सिंगार हरि देखो आली लाली को फूलन सिंगार हरि देखो आली लाली को प्यारी को फूलन सिंगार नीलांबर पर फूलन पंक्ति जनु नीलांबर पर फूलन पंक्ति जनु तारे गगन अपार हरि देखो आली तारे गगन अपार हरि देखो आली तारे गगन अपार हरि Tare gagana par hari dekho ali lali ko phulana singar hari dekho ali देखो वाली लाली को फुलन सिंगार हरि देखो वाली लाली को फुलन सिंगार हरि देखो वाली लाली को फुलन सिंगार फूलन की पायल अंगूरी न बिछुए फूलन की पायल अंगूरी न बिछुए वेणी फूलन सवार हरि देखो आली फूलन सवार हरि देखो आली वेणी फूलन सवार हरि देखो आली लाली को फुलन सिंगार हरि देखो आली देखो आली लाली को फुलन सिंगार अरि देखो आली लाली को फुलन singar Kripalu Balihar Hari Dekho Ali Lakhi Kripalu Balihar Hari Dekho Ali Lakhi Kripalu Balihar Hari Dekho Ali Lali Ko Pulan Singar Hari Dekho Ali Lali ko phulan singar Hari dekho ali Dekho ali Lali ko phulan singar Hari Dekho Ali Lali Ko Phulan Singar Hari Dekho Ali Lali Ko Phulan Singar
बोलिए अलबेली सरकार की जय